Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Derek Hostetler. Welcome, Derek. It's wonderful to have you with me. We always start at the same place, and that's the very beginning. And I have to admit that I don't know very much about you. I know something about your parents, but not a whole lot about you. So where were you born?
Born here in Portland.
So you're basically right back where you started.
Yes. So born and raised in Portland, went to high school here, went to public school. My junior year of high school, decided to go to Western Mennonite. I was there for 2 years, finished high school and went to Goshen for 2 years. And then I returned to and graduated from Portland State University.
So it's pretty obvious that you were raised Mennonite.
Yes, I was.
Because of all those places that you mentioned, except for the last one, they're all affiliated with Mennonites. Since you were born and raised in Portland, and now you're back again, what are some of the biggest differences in the city from when you were growing up to now?
The city's grown a lot. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I think that stands out the most is just the continual growth, especially like downtown.
What part of Portland were you actually raised in?
I was raised in Laurelhurst, so Northeast Portland.
So as a child, what did you do for fun in Southeast Portland?
I was in Northeast Portland.
You can tell I'm not listening very well. How about Northeast Portland?
I played mostly soccer as a child growing up from early age through high school.
What position?
Mostly forward for many years. And then at some point I changed to defense. That was later on. It's when I was more of an adult.
What did you like about soccer?
I like team sports, so I think that was the thing that kept me interested in that game. And then also, I mean, there's a lot of running, and you have to be quite fit to play.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
I have two brothers, Trevor and Thaddeus. They are twins, and they are 2.5 years younger than me.
Tell me what it's like to have twin brothers who are younger than you, especially maybe in those early years.
Challenging. That's one word.
We need a little more.
There was always a sense of competition between all of us. So, but it was good. I mean, now we're, you know, back then, you know, sometimes we hated each other, but now we really enjoy each other's company.
Did it ever feel like it was sort of two against one? In those early years?
Probably at times, but I don't know if it was ever like the two of them against me, or I think it was either one versus one, or me buddying up with one of them versus somebody else, I guess.
And tell us who your parents are, just so we can make sure we've got you in the right family.
My parents are Philip and Jesse Hostetler.
Is it safe to say that you were raised at Portland Mennonite Church?
Yes, attended there from birth.
What do you remember about those early days at church? Was it someplace that you looked forward to going, or was it more of a, oh dear, we have to go to church again?
I mean, I think at one point, I mean, it's like, you know, someplace I look forward to going because my friends were there. But then, you know, at certain stages of your life, you know, different ages, it's like not necessarily the most highest on the priority list of places to go on Sunday morning. We had a vibrant MYF in junior high, and so enjoyed being part of those groups.
And who were the pastors in those teenage years?
That would have been Ralph Lind.
I'm assuming that you were part of the church when it moved from Savior Street to the current location. Is that correct?
No. Didn't that happen in the 60s sometime?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so I was born in 70, so that was much earlier.
So it's always been the church on Hawthorne,
yeah.
Just off of Hawthorne, that you remember.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my father, he was raised in the other church because his father was the pastor, my grandfather. was the pastor of Portland Mennonite.
In your teenage years in school, were there certain subjects that were starting to interest you more than others? Tell me about what high school was like in terms of academics.
I went to Benson. So the public school I went to was Benson. So I was interested in technology. I've always kind of had a knack for technology. So I went there since it was a technical school. But then a couple of people were going to Western. So Randy Kanegi and Chad Rush were all going to Western. And so I decided to move to Western as well. I moved my junior year.
Were you a student who stayed at Western in a dormitory or something during the week and just came home on weekends, or did you go back and forth each day?
Yeah, I stayed in the dorm during the week, and then we would drive down Monday morning and then come back Friday after school.
Do you remember any adventures in the dormitory?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of adventures.
Could you share one or two with us?
Probably not.
That tells us what we needed to know. Did you know what was going to happen after you graduated? Was it always that you'd go to college, or was there any question about that?
There was no question about that. I had always planned to go to university. I thought about initially going into engineering and started at that at Goshen. And then as time went by, I took a biology class as a prerequisite for something and really enjoyed that. And so I shifted my focus to a degree in biology. Human anatomy and physiology was my emphasis.
And so how long did you go to Goshen?
Just my first 2 years. And then from there, I transferred back to Portland State.
Because?
Well, several things. I didn't want to graduate with debt. Goshen was expensive and still is expensive to go to. And I wasn't getting any financial aid. I also needed to focus a little bit more on my studies. And so I decided that this was probably the best move for me. I could have stayed there, had many friends, but I made the decision myself to come back, focus on my degree.
When you came back, did you move back home?
Yeah, I moved back home for about a year and a half. And then my last year, I actually lived with Karen Weaver, Karen Gienrich. So we shared a house together.
And so you graduated with what degree in what year?
I graduated from Portland State with a Bachelor's of Science in Biology in the fall. I graduated in the fall of 1993, I guess.
Did you know what was going to happen next?
No, I didn't.
Or what did you plan to do with that degree? Did you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, my plan was to go to medical school. So I had begun studying for the MCAT, which is the standardized medical exam, and had thought about taking 1 year gap period and then going. But I don't know, at some point I decided I wanted to go overseas and take a little bit longer than 1 year gap period. And so I applied with MCC.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
And why MCC? Now, you've got a little family history there with that, with your mother at least. But tell me a little bit about what it was about going overseas or MCC, or how you kind of made that decision, which changed the trajectory of your life, I would say.
Yeah. Growing up at Portland Mennonite, there were often many visitors coming through telling their stories about their travels. And so that was intriguing to me. I mean, I had never really traveled before. We had traveled across the country. And in high school, I had gone on a mini term at Western. They had mini terms. I had gone on a mini term to Mexico for 2 weeks. So that was my first kind of out of the country experience. But, you know, hearing the stories at church, people passing through, and then also hearing my mother's stories of her experience in Vietnam, just was intriguing to me. And so I thought that if I was going to take a break from studies, that would be a good option for me.
So you applied to MCC and told them you wanted to go where, or how did that process happen?
Yeah, well, at that time, MCC still was kind of looking for generalists. It's very different these days, but they had a couple positions open, some teaching English, and I wasn't interested in teaching English. I'm not someone that wants to teach English. I don't feel comfortable. It's like one of my worst subjects. So there was an opportunity in Cambodia, and I had heard stories about Cambodia and knew some about it. Working in the office, doing office administrative work. And so I applied for that, basically that position only.
So that would have been the MCC office in the capital of Phnom Penh?
Yes, in Phnom Penh. So I can't remember when I applied, but I applied sometime in the spring of 94 after I had already graduated. And then by September, I went through the September orientation, I think at that time. It wasn't in November then. It was more like in September. So I went through the September orientation and then was on to Cambodia.
And the orientation was in Akron, Pennsylvania at the headquarters of Mennonite Central Committee.
That's correct. And it wasn't the welcoming place like it is now. It's very different now. The old building that they had, like the apartment building, it's quite luxurious now.
It is very different. I used to work there too. So you were off to Cambodia. I'm assuming you flew, obviously.
Yep.
Did you go by yourself or were there other MCCers that you were traveling with?
So there was another young guy that was going to Vietnam, actually. And so we flew on Thai Airlines. So we flew through Los Angeles, I think, and then to Bangkok. And then in Bangkok, he was going to go to Hanoi, and then I was going to go to Phnom Penh. We missed our flight.
In where? Something.
For some reason, I think we missed we had to stop. We stopped in Seoul. From Los Angeles, we stopped in Seoul, and there was they have a curfew there for, at least at that time, they had a curfew for flights, and flights couldn't leave after a certain hour. So they put us up in a hotel downtown. And then from there, we flew to Bangkok, and then we said goodbye in Bangkok and went our separate ways.
But because of that layover in Seoul, did that mean that you missed your scheduled flight into Phnom Penh?
Yes, it did. And it meant that I arrived in Phnom Penh. Phnom Penh at that point, you know, had just come out of UN-controlled government, and the airport was not developed at all. There were no cell phones at that time. I had landed, and they dumped your bags on the floor, and you had to pick them up, like basically right off the plane. And there was no one to meet me at the airport. And I only had the phone number of the MCC office. Fortunately, I had gotten in before the MCC office closed, was able to call, talk to the rep, and had to wait for about 2 hours for them to come and pick me up. So here I arrive in the hot, humid climate with no one to pick me up. I never had traveled by myself before, so...
But, do you remember kind of what your thoughts were at that time once you kind of landed and realized what was not happening?
Yeah, I still remember. You know, I was scared, excited, kind of, you know, jet lagged. You know, everything was going on at the same time. So fortunately, I found somebody that had a phone, you know, there at the airport. They had a land phone and was able to call, so...
And then what was your actual job supposed to be? MCC is kind of notorious for saying that a job is one thing and it may be turning out a little differently, but what was your experience with that? You were going to stay in the capital city?
Yeah, so I stayed in the capital city. The office was the guest house as well, and so I stayed there for about 4 to 6 months. I can't remember exactly. And then I moved to a small apartment fairly close by that I could get to and from. I had a motorcycle that I could ride and I could get back and forth to work that way. But my job was actually one of those that didn't really change. So it was what it said it was. I did all the finance, worked with the national staff, helped support service workers that were in the field, would get supplies if I knew they were coming into town, get supplies for them and stuff like that if I could. That was basically it was true to form, and I was doing the job description.
Did you have to do some language study at some point?
Yes, I did. So it was really important at that point that I focused on language. It was something I personally wanted to do. So I took a number, it took the standard 3 months of language study. I did it while I was working. So I would work. Some people are able to focus, do that with, without work. And then, but I started work right away almost, and then did language like 3 or 4 times a week. I did that for about 3 months. And then I just studied on my own after that.
And did you feel like by the time you were there for a year or so that you were pretty comfortable with the language?
Yeah, I mean, it takes time. Cambodian is a pretty easy language spoken-wise to speak. Reading and writing is quite different. It has an alphabet, but it's an older language, so uses some Sanskrit. So it's not the easiest thing to write. Not many foreigners ever get to write well. Some don't even read. I got pretty good at reading, but I was never much of a writer.
And you said that you rode a motorcycle. Had you ridden motorcycles before?
Nope. I mean, maybe at a friend's house here in the valley or something, but, not extensively like I was doing there. So it was fun.
And the traffic's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's changed definitely over the years. But then you would basically have the road to yourself. But yeah, it's definitely a different form of traffic than we're used to here with everybody following the rules for the most part. There it's more just things flow together, and most of the time people stop at lights, red lights, and sometimes they don't. So you always have to be on your toes.
And this was a 2 or 3 year term?
That was a 3 year assignment. And so actually, about halfway through, there were some changes happening in the office and with the team. And so I looked for another opportunity. And so with about a year plus to go, I moved out of the office and I was seconded to a different organization. So I worked for Hope International Development Agency, which is out of British Columbia. I worked in the province, and I worked on their hand-dug well program, and I worked with the Department of Hydrology.
So you were really using that biology degree, weren't you?
Yeah, I don't know, somewhat. Maybe more of the analytical skills kind of things, because I was, in working with the Department of Hydrology, I dealt with a meteorological database and studying river flows and things like that.
I know that oftentimes near the end of a term or at some point, there's a question, should I extend? Or so tell me basically what came next for you at the end of those 3 years.
Well, with about 2.5 years to go, I got married during an MCC term. So my wife, Lekna, and I got married in Phnom Penh in January of 97. Hopefully I get that date right. And
you then, met someone, a Cambodian.
Yeah, I met a Cambodian while I was there. I got introduced by some friends and got married with about 6 months left on my term. And she was able to work for Hope International Development Agency. And that was accepted by MCC as a, sometimes there's questions about getting married during a term or not, but that was acceptable to MCC for me to have. Be working for them and her working for them as well. So didn't have to terminate early.
So now there are two of you who have to make decisions. How did you make the decision as to what you were going to do next?
It was pretty simple. I wanted to come back to Portland. So we left in around May of 97, moved back to Portland and looked for work. She went to school and I started working at Providence Health Systems in their business office, doing some database management things.
But then at some point, you went back overseas again.
Yeah, so worked at Providence for about 3 years. And then from there, I moved to Rejuvenation Incorporated, which is the house parts place down on Taylor, 5th and Taylor. I worked for them in their IT department for over 5 years doing database and software development. And then we had always talked about going back overseas and didn't know at what point we would want to do that. But we had a one-year-old by that time. Lucas was one. And thought it was a good time in our life to make a change. If we waited much longer, it probably wouldn't be possible. And so we started looking at what MCC had to offer. And there were two positions available in Mexico. One was dealing with water conservation, working with farmers, and the other was working with women's groups. And so it was kind of a good fit for both of what we had done in the past and kind of what our interest was. And so then in February of 2005, we went with MCC to Mexico.
And again, that was for a period of 3 years?
Yeah, initially it was 3 years. We extended, so we spent a little over 2 years working in the countryside with farmers and women's groups. And then we took the interim leadership role as the country reps, and we're in that position for a little over a year. Our youngest, Chase, he was born in Mexico in 2008. And a position had opened up in Vietnam, being a country rep. And so we came home for home leave and went straight from home leave to Vietnam. And we were in Vietnam for 4 years.
Go ahead and finish out the story.
Keep going, huh? So we were in Vietnam for 4 years. And then from there, positioned open in Cambodia as the reps. So, and anybody that's not familiar with what country rep is, that's just MCC's specific term for like country director. So we moved to Cambodia, back to like second home for us. And we were in Cambodia for 7 years.
So Anna was back closer Cambodia. To her family, right?
Yeah, she was. Her mother and sisters live about, 10, 15-minute drive across town. So there was a good separation, but really enjoyed being close to the family. During that time, we also took on leadership role for the Myanmar program. So we were leading both Cambodia and Myanmar. Then in, what year was it? Let's see, about December 2018, position open in Jordan that was overseeing the Jordan-Iraq-Iran program. And I was keen to move, take on a new role, bigger budget, bigger region, and convinced the family to make that move. So we moved in June of 2019. And we're getting things going. And come March, April of last year, COVID hit and we lost our position. MCC did restructuring and they eliminated the rep role in Jordan and Iraq and Iran, and they decided to move countries to different reps. So a cost savings move.
How did you feel about that? I mean, you had just kind of gotten settled in.
Well, we had barely settled in and, there was no reason why we needed to leave Cambodia, because like if we were still in Cambodia, we could still be the reps in Cambodia right now. So that was, after working for MCC for a total of 16 years plus years, almost 16 and a half years or so, total of over 19 years, it hurt to be let go in that way, just because of cost savings. So if it wasn't for COVID, we would still be there. So, just all the plans changed. We sent workers home. We were really working hard to figure out how to save money in the budget, working with partners, how to reduce some funding, sent service workers home, et cetera, et cetera. And then it came time for the bad news for us. And So we came home in June of 2020.
Home being back to Portland this time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, we could have moved back to Cambodia, I guess, as home, but felt like this probably gave us better opportunities for jobs. I mean, the job market isn't great, but better than what Cambodia would afford for foreigners, so especially at this point. So,
in wrapping up, so what are you actually doing now? You found a job at some point?
Yeah, so I'm currently working for Levi Krupp. I'm doing construction work and thankful for that opportunity. At some point, I'd like to get back into humanitarian work. I enjoy the administrative work of managing programs. So looking for opportunities there eventually. But I just kind of needed a break from MCC, I guess. But maybe it's a healthy change for now.
Well, we're glad to have you back, and we're sorry that we don't get to see you in person because here we still are in COVID, but I am sure that what you have shared is very important and interesting to those of us who live vicariously, maybe I should say. So, Derek, thank you so much for sharing some of your stories. I know we just barely touched the tip of the iceberg, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.